You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 15th, 2019, President Trump today announcing changes for asylum regulations that will add, quote, a new bar to eligibility for asylum. And the new rule means that migrants must show proof that they applied for asylum protection in at least one third-party country outside of their own country of citizenship. In other words, when they leave their country they're trying to escape, such as Guatemala, and they go into Mexico, then that's where you should apply for asylum. You do know what happened over the weekend, don't you, at an ICE facility in Colorado? At this Colorado Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility, protesters showed up. They were shouting out against ICE enforcement. And then somebody pulled down an American flag and raised a Mexican flag in place. That makes no sense whatsoever, does it? Well, folks are coming to America to become Americans. That's what they say they want to do. And you want to pull down the U.S. flag, put up a Mexican. Do you think that's going to get them any extra points or support? And then what about the Blue Lives Matter flag? That was there also. Meant support law enforcement. It got pulled down to face with the words abolish ICE and raised alongside the Mexican flag. They had no concept of what this country does for them and stands for. They take the freedom of speech and they spit on it, but it's freedom of speech. So today, during the annual White House Made in America showcase, President Trump said we're going to require American products to use more American components if they're to be used by the government. He said currently any products used for government projects can contain up to 50% of foreign components and still be considered American. We just signed an executive order boosting the percentage of American components to 75%. Otherwise, they don't get government contracts. There's a new NBC Wall Street Journal survey, and it says tight general election matchups between President Trump and top Democrat candidates Biden, Sanders, Warren, Harris. In fact, this poll, taken between July 7th and the 9th, showed Trump trailing the top-tier Democrat candidates, trailing Biden, leading the pack. That's all right. Go ahead. Keep taking your polls. Keep thinking he's not going to be in there 2020. Just like you were saying, he'll never get elected. And they also said, if he's elected, I'll leave the country. And they've yet to pack their bags, and we're more than willing to help. By the way, his 2020 reelection campaign and the Republican National Committee raising $108 million in the second quarter and have $123 million in cash on hand. Well, the guy that plowed into those counter-protesters at Charlottesville 2 years ago, leaving a woman dead. As you know, he got sentenced to life in prison by a federal judge on a federal hate crime back in March. Now, he's gotten another sentence. This time, he's getting a state sentence, a life sentence. They will run consecutively. He said, every day I think about my actions, how this could have gone differently. I'm sorry. Yep, I'm sure you are. Con Edison says that the blackout that plunged parts of Manhattan, you know, the big Broadway district into darkness over the weekend, they say is all due to a relay protection system, quote, that did not operate as designed. They say this protection system is designed with redundancies. Well, apparently the redundancies and the redundancies and the redundancies didn't work. 72,000 customers losing service, and all the Broadway shows had to be shut down. A lot of downtown New York was dark as dark. They got the power back in about 3 hours to the Broadway district, and all customers had power back within 5 hours. So here's a new survey. Should the District of Columbia be its own state? Riddle me this. Do you want another state, and should it be the District of Columbia? Do we want another blue state? Because that's what it would be. Well, a new Gallup poll finds 64% of Americans say no. The survey looked across every category: gender, race, age, group, education level, political party, ideology. And more than half said, no, I don't want to give statehood to the nation's capital city. Oh, by the way, speaking of the capital city, in the Capitol, Senate Democrats came out of a classified section or election briefing, I should say, the other day. And they say the Trump administration still not doing enough to stop foreign actions like Russia from our next election. They say it's a very serious problem. We want more election security needs. Well, the first thing I'd suggest, why don't we start with, if you're going to vote, you have to show a picture ID. Oh, no, we can't do that. Can't do that.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So, of course, we were concerned when Iran says we're going to start increasing uranium enrichment beyond the purity threshold that we were going to limit ourselves to under the deal that Obama put in. We said we would obey that and follow it, which we knew they weren't doing. They were not allowing UN inspectors in to see what they needed to see. So we knew they probably weren't. So they said, now watch this. We're going to really go full blast. Well, now the European Union's foreign policy chief, if you believe him, said none of the parties that are still in the Iran nuclear deal, China, France, Germany, Russia, United Kingdom, none of them believe that the country's breach so far is significant. In other words, they think they're not really doing that much anyway. In other words, they're just rattling sabers. Maybe that explains why Iranian President Rouhani said yesterday, hey, we're prepared to deal with the U.S. government if you lift sanctions. Hey, we're going to be reasonable. We'll do that if you just get rid of sanctions. In other words, maybe they realize we need to have some relief, and we're not going to get what we wanted on the nuclear thing, so let's get some sanctions off. Maybe. I don't know. China holding military drills off the coast of Taiwan. Tensions rising between Beijing and Washington. The U.S. supporting the island that China views as part of its territory. A lot of tension between Beijing and Washington over a $2.2 billion U.S. arms sale to Taiwan and a trip by the Taiwanese president coming to the U.S. as she prepares to shore up support among the allies in the Caribbean. Friday, China threatened to impose sanctions against any U.S. company selling weapons to Taiwan, stating, those who play with fire will only get themselves burned. In the meantime, China is having difficulties on the economic front. Its economic growth slowing more than expected in the second quarter. The slowest quarterly expansion in decades in China. Why? Well, partly U.S. tariffs and uncertainty around trade negotiations. Making America great is making China reconsider what they're doing. Don't look to be flying a Boeing 737 anytime soon. And maybe they'd be happy with you. I mean, you wouldn't be bothered whatsoever. The airlines are facing increasing pressure. They may have to go without that big plane as they go into the holiday season. It's possible it's not going to be in the air until November. Maybe not until next year. Of course, this follows the crash of two 737 MAX planes, leading to 350 deaths, is still being grounded. United Airlines says it's going to keep it off the flight schedules until November. Southwest Airlines says we're looking at October 1. We might start flying them then. But I think this next quote is critical. The president of the Coalition of Airline Pilots Association says the stakes are too high to get this one wrong. Facebook is apparently embedding tracking codes in photos to collect more of your data. That's according to an Australian cyber researcher. He says, yeah, I've been watching. He said, you post photos on your Facebook? And he said, I'm seeing hidden codes showing up in those pictures that allow users to update to the site and track how many people see and share that same photo. Huh. You shouldn't be surprised, but now you officially know. Question for you. Be honest, have you ever bought anything at Victoria's Secret for someone special? Maybe yourself. Do you like watching the Victoria's Secret models come across the runway with the wings and not much else? Well, all that might be going away. Fewer people are buying bras and panties and other things at Victoria's Secret. Company sales sliding for a while. Why? Well, they're blaming in part the hashtag MeToo. Here's a warning from Tennessee police, and you should take note of this. This is critical. Hear this story. They're telling you, do not flush your meth down the toilet. They say that stuff gets into the sewage, goes downstream, it gets into other things. We try to clean it up, but sometimes it gets by, it gets into waterfowl, the meth gets to them, and then also, in some areas, it can get into alligators, and you'd have meth gators. Meth gators. Gators on meth. Now, I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but I can see a movie coming already. Gators on meth.
You can follow Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA at Larry Connors USA.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
You can run on for a long time. Run on. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Coming up in this hour, we're going to look at the major crackdown on asylum seekers. Going to get in that in more detail for you. And those so-called ICE raids that supposedly took place over the weekend, were they, quote, successful? What did you hear about them? What did you not hear about them? And what about some police agencies in some cities saying, we're not going to do a damn thing to help the ICE agents? They're on their own. Where police in other cities were told, we're going to go out and do what we can. We're enforcing the law. That's what we do. And before we finish, we have a message from Megan Rapinoe, the World Cup co-captain. She has a message for all of you Trump supporters. You do not want to miss that. But more importantly, we'll wrap up tonight with a message from a Green Beret. A very sobering message. So that's what we got coming up the next rest of this hour. Before we do that, more comments coming in at Larry Connors USA Facebook. And we were talking extensively in the last hour about how the race card is just being played by the left on a continuous basis, even against other members of the left. Pulling it at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, pulling it the other day against Nancy Pelosi. And Cory Booker pulling it on Joe Biden. And they have no problem with throwing anybody under the bus. Because if it will make some points for them, they're going to do it. Mel sent in a piece that appears right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. A shirt, I guess it is. Racism is so American that when you protest it, people think you're protesting America. That's a thought to consider. Racism is so American that when you protest it, people think you are protesting America. Now, think about it. All right, as I mentioned in news and commentary, the Trump administration moving forward this sweeping new policy to tighten restrictions, intended to dramatically reduce the number of Central American migrants coming into the U.S. Now, we'd already began to see a decrease in Mexicans trying to come across the border. Mostly we have now these caravans coming all the way from Central America, crossing Mexico's southern border, winding their way up 1,000+ miles to get somewhere along the U.S. border and try to cross. But then they are right now, with the help of Mexico, they're being blocked getting into Mexico to begin with. Then if they get inside, Mexico is trying to block them from crossing the border to the north and into our country. And they're also being held, if you want asylum, you have to stay here for a while. And many of them already, Beto O'Rourke was calling that inhumane, that they have to stay in Mexico. What? Are you suggesting the fellow Latinos in Mexico are abusing their fellow Latino members and treating them inhumane? But it's an effort to curb some of this illegal activity. And the Attorney General says this change would work and it's legal. But of course, here comes the ACLU vowing to sue. No surprise there. And they're saying the Trump administration trying to unilaterally reverse our country's legal and moral commitment to protect those fleeing danger. Now, you got to keep in mind, many of these coming up here are not fleeing danger. They want a new life. The recent picture we had of the child in the water face down with her father, his mother, the child's grandmother, flat out said they wanted to go to America because they wanted to have a home. They wanted to have a new home. It wasn't because they were fleeing anything. They just wanted a better life. I understand that. But we still have processes. This country has opened its door repeatedly, and we still do, to help people come and have a new life. Not just because they're threatened somewhere, but because they want a new life. They want to be here. How many countries are people trying to get into? Just this one. How many people are trying to get out of the country where they are? Several. And the president got blasted today because he had referred to some of them as whole countries. Well, they are. The people living there acknowledge it. They don't want to be there. They would much rather be here. Venezuela, right now, is probably one of the biggest asshole countries. It has nothing to do with the color of the people. It's the conditions. A communist socialist government that is starving its people. Of course they want to get out of there. But right now, the law allows refugees to request asylum when they arrive at the U.S., regardless of how they got there. There is an exception for those who come through a country considered to be safe. Now, the only allowance we have currently is a safe third country with our border is currently with Canada. We have a recent agreement with Mexico, and we're still working on that, that would be considered a first asylum country for anyone coming out of Central America or even South America or Cuba or India or Pakistan that somehow get to Mexico and then try to come across the southern border. If they left the country they were in, they have now reached a country where they could get asylum. And, of course, we also have the lack of effort by Democrat members of Congress, because the more they can find a way to stall and walk around this, the more pressure it puts upon ICE and the more reasons they can shout out things aren't right. Well, to that extent, former Acting Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Tom Holman was at a House hearing last week, and Democrats were decrying conditions at the migrant detention centers. And you know what he told the House Oversight Committee? And he recalled his own experiences of seeing dead bodies in tractor trailers that were trying to come across illegally. They got abandoned by coyotes, or they didn't do anything to refrigerate, didn't give them water, and they get in the Texas heat, and they die in those trailers. Can you imagine opening up a trailer and seeing 30, 60, 80 bodies, including children? What did we have to do that? Nothing. They chose to put their faith in the coyotes, that are going to get them into this country. And then along the way, things went wrong and they just left them. So here's what Former ICE Director Tom Holman said to Congress, if you don't like this, do your job. Fix it. I'm going to read some of his remarks. They're stark, and yet they should be echoed. He said, as a 34-year veteran of law enforcement, it is shocking to see constant attacks against those that leave the safety and security of their homes every day, put on a Kevlar vest, put a gun on their hip, and risk their own safety to defend this nation. And partly he was dealing with the accusations from Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, who claimed that, oh, migrants are made to drink out of toilet bowls. That's not true. That's not true. What she saw was a unit that has a toilet and a water hydrant attached. Well, the water comes in separately for the water hydrant for your water fountain, I should say. And there's a different line that goes to the toilet. And when the toilet's flushed, that water goes into the sewer. They don't have water for the toilet in the fountain. But she's so stupid she doesn't know, or she just wants to say, look, here they are drinking out of a toilet because it's attached to a toilet. But here came the former ICE director. He said the same people that vilify Border Patrol for detention conditions are the same people who refuse to call for help until it's too late. He said no one talks about the 4,000 lives Border Patrol agents saved last year. No one talks about how Border Patrol agents, men and women, bring toys from their homes and their own children to facilities so migrant children have something. No one talks about the sickness of these migrants, how those agents end up taking that sickness home to their own family sometimes. He asked, have any of you, had just one of you critics, attended a burial of a law enforcement agent killed on duty? Or consoled a child or spouse of a fallen officer? He said, I have. Too many times. One congressman was describing all this as, you're just kind of making it up, and he screamed at Holman. And Holman shouted back at him. Well, actually, the congressman shouted, you're not at the border. This is a hearing room. This is my time. And Holman said, this is political grandstanding. Don't blame the men and women wearing the uniform. This is political theater. So the so-called ICE raids this last weekend, supposed to round up 2,000. 2,000 already adjudicated, decided by a court. No, we looked at your asylum request. It does not meet the requirements. You will be sent back. You are to be deported. And they've not been sent back yet. So ICE was supposedly going to start rounding them up. They had estimated something like 2,000 across 10 cities. The president telegraphed it. 2 weeks ago they were going to do it. They decided to give Congress 2 more weeks to get their act together, come up with some viable asylum plan, but they didn't. They did nothing. So he said, all right, move forward with it. And, of course, everybody said, oh, my God, we're living in fear. The agents are going to come. They're going to round us all up. And he had asylum city saying, we will stand with you. We will protect you. We're going to get into that in more detail in a moment. But here's a statement that I want to share with you, a piece, I should say, from Brandon Judd. He is president of the National Border Patrol Council. He's the exclusive labor representative of something like 16,000 Border Patrol agents. And it's titled, Here's a Truth That Even Pelosi and Clinton Don't Want to Admit. Now, before we get to this, some have talked about throwing dollars at the Central American countries where all the folks are coming from now, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, that throw money down there, then improve their conditions, their lifestyle. And of course, the president, Trump, has said, if you don't stem the tide coming out of your country, we're not going to give you money. We're going to cut off the money you're getting now. And everybody says, oh, that's going to make it worse. Well, do you think they're going to get anything done if they just continue to come across? Do you think throwing money down there, a Central American Marshall Plan, is going to save and change things? You got to make sure, first of all, the money gets to the people, not the leaders in those countries, because most of them are socialist run. In fact, to that extent, Brandon Judd points out, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, all are rich in natural resources. They all have seaports, so they could have trade with other countries. They have an able, willing workforce. Why aren't they prosperous? And he says, because all three have governments that fail to uphold the rule of law. Period. He said, look at Mexico and its gun laws. He said, of all the nations that hold free elections, Mexico has some of the strictest gun laws. But Mexico also has the highest murder rate of all free nations, mostly committed with illegal firearms. And, of course, he's talking about the cartels and others. Throwing money into those countries is not going to be the answer. That's just going to be a waste of money. It's putting a Band-Aid on an amputated leg. It's not going to do anything. But he said the problem is that so many people from other countries feel empowered to come in the U.S. illegally because Pelosi and Clinton published guidelines. Talking about Hillary Clinton. Published guidelines for illegals already ordered deported by a judge. They show illegal immigrants how they can avoid lawful deportation orders. And then he adds this. ICE raids took place under the Obama administration. They were effective tools. Keep in mind, Obama deporting more illegals than any president. More than any president. We're talking about a million plus. And it was not condemned by Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State, nor Congresswoman Pelosi at the time. They were approving it. The Speaker of the House was then approving it. Clinton, Secretary of State, was approving it. I should point out, Pelosi at the time was minority leader. And now, of course, they're saying because Trump's doing it, it's wrong. It's wrong. It can't be that way. It's either done right and for the right reason or it's not, regardless of who is carrying it out. Then we come to police agencies and what they were going to do to either help ICE agents this last weekend and going forward or not. That part of the story when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA. To text the show, it's 855-282-8255. It's
855-282-8255. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So in the last hour, of course, we're talking about how Trump and that tweet he sent out, which he could have done better with it, but basically he had a misstatement fact occurring, referring to the four freshman minority women in Congress saying, go back to the country. He didn't really say it that directly. He said, basically, if you think you can do better, you know what, how to tell us what to do. Go to your country, come back and fix your country, then come back. Well, three of them were born here. So he was wrong about that. But he's also being falsely accused by liberals saying that, well, he told everybody to just go back to your country. That's not what he said. He said, go back, fix that country, then come back here. Specifically, Congresswoman Omar from Somalia, which is having its own problems right now. Terrorist acts over the weekend, leaving 30 or more dead. So when we're rounding, and the reason I bring that up is because CNN continues to push that issue. They're doing it right now with Anderson Coppermouth, but Don Lemon Fruitcake, talking about, well, the Republicans have been so silent, they're not saying that. They should be also jumping on Trump. And they're going to do their best to embarrass others to say, well, you've got to be part of this as well. And I'll remind you, I've had this question come up. I'm not referring to Don Lemon Fruitcake because of his sexual preference. I'm referring to his politics, which is fruitcake. Anyway, the effort over the weekend to go into various cities and round up illegals that have already been judged to be deported. What kind of support did ICE get? Well, the New York Police Department union boss, the union boss of the New York Police Department told his members, you will stand firm and assist Immigration and Customs during any planned raids. It is our job. We don't write the laws. It's our job to enforce them. Nor do we engage in politics or opinions. under the U.S. Code, New York State Penal Law, or City Code. Our job is simply to enforce all laws equally. So he told them, don't get trapped in all this. You will do the job. Of course, Mayor Bill de Blasio has said his city is a sanctuary city. But the boss of the police department said, carry out your job the way you should. In Baltimore, the mayor announced his city would not cooperate with ICE. Told his police officers, stand down. We're not going to help. And in L.A., the mayor there decided to release a video directed at illegal immigrants amid the raids. He said, we're all in this together. That's right. We're all together here. He said, he gave advice to those living in Los Angeles illegally, informed them where they could get resources to take care of what they need, including but not limited to a lawyer. He said, we're in this together. We're going to help you. He said, I want every Angelino to know their rights and how to exercise them. You have the right to remain silent. You don't have to open your door and so forth, so on. He said, keep records of everything so we can document it. And then he turned his time over to the Los Angeles police chief. Contrary to what we heard from the head of the police union in New York City, the L.A. police chief said, our law officers will stay out of the raids on the basis of federalism. It's the federal government's job to deal with issues of immigration. We deal with safety. As if safety and immigration are two separate things. Really? Really? That they think immigration does not lead to crime in some cases, which we know it does, that illegals had not committed crimes here, and he's saying, it's all about being a good neighbor. We're going to work together. They are copping out, and they're endangering their own populace. And here comes Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Maine, who wants to be one of those presidential candidates that is going to win the White House. She wants to be the one. And she's promising to set up a commission to study all alleged crimes the U.S. has committed against immigrants. That's right. She said to anyone out there who's working in the system, understand, you abuse immigrants, you physically abuse immigrants, you sexually abuse immigrants, you fail to get the medical care they need, you break the law of the United States of America. Wait a damn minute. Now you're concerned about the law of the United States of America. It begins with, do not come into this country illegally. That's the law of the United States of America. Now, I will grant you that if anybody along the Border Patrol agents, ICE, whatever, if they are abusing their power, their authority, and they are molesting or hurting, yeah, they should be held accountable. I'm not going to say everybody gets a blanket acceptance. But what she's doing is pandering. Pandering, saying, we're going to look at all the ICE agents. We're going to look at them. We're going to investigate. On my first day, I will empower a commission in the Department of Justice to investigate crimes committed by the United States against immigrants. And here came Congresswoman Tlaib joining in, saying, we're going to look back at this moment as a very, very dark time. We're going to look back and say, what did we do as a nation to push against this? This is a whole generation of children that will forget what our nation did to them. Those children she's referring to have been drugged 1,000+ miles from whatever country they were in. And now their parents are upset that they can't get what they want for them. I would not put my child through that. I would not. I'm not going to question them. That's their decision. But for what they're doing to their child, I'd say, yeah, you, the parent, you're responsible for that. But let's go back to the criminalization. Warren and others have said we don't want to criminalize the fact of coming across the border. That should not be illegal. I'd like for her to go to the family of Corey Cottrell of Illinois. Last month, Bloomington, Illinois, he's on his motorcycle en route to see his mother. The 39-year-old enjoying a beautiful day on his motorcycle, headed to see his mother. And he's a father of two girls. And out of nowhere came a 27-year-old driver running a red light, crashing into the motorcycle, not only killing Corey, but then racing away. Hit and run. He later turns himself in. Says, I'm sorry. It turns out he's illegal. He's an illegal from Honduras. And he's pleading not guilty. Well, of course. And he's being held on a $1 million bail. $1 million bail. But he's in the sanctuary state of Illinois. Now, do you think Senator Warren can go to that family of that father, those two girls, and say, we're going to look into every time an illegal has committed a crime against an American citizen, and we're going to make sure they get punished? You think she'll do that? No, because they want the votes, and they figure there are more votes to come from illegals than law-abiding citizens. They're going to have a very rude awakening, and I'm going to be very happy about it, because what is at stake here is not just the votes and them getting to the White House. It's what this country's about, and when I hear comments from her and Tlaib saying this is going to be a very dark, dark time. It is a dark time when members of this country are shouting against our federal agents trying to carry out federal law. And even those illegals they were rounding up over the weekend, they've had their day in court. They've had a day in court. What's the next thing? You go to court, you're found guilty of a crime, you're sentenced away, and then, no, we can't do that. We can't separate you from the family. We're not going to send you to jail. We're just going to forget that. Well, of course we're not going to do that. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for some big Democrat. And God, I hope this doesn't happen. I don't want it to happen to them, but I'm waiting for them to lose a loved one, a family member, a spouse through a hit and run by an illegal. I want to see how many of them come running out and say, oh, well, let's forgive them because they only came here to have a better life and incidentally killed someone. Twisted thinking on their part. Again, I don't wish anything on anyone, but there will come a day of reckoning. Because they're setting us up for it. Because they're turning a blind eye to everything that's taking place with illegals, not just coming in the country illegally, but many coming across. Trump was right when he said in the beginning, Mexico at that time was not sending its best people. Do you think the best people came here? If they had a good life in Mexico, were they going to come here? Of course not. It's very much like Cuba and the boat lift. Castro opened his jails and said, get on a boat, go to America, and laughed his butt off, saying, look what I've done to the U.S., And they had a lot of illegals. I mean, they had a lot of criminals coming into this country. And they knew they were criminals. They just let them out of jail. It's not that they were being held political prisoners. They were guilty of all kinds of crimes. They opened their jail and just said, go to the U.S. Go ahead. But did everybody that came from Cuba cause trouble? Were they all criminals? No, of course not. Is everyone coming from Mexico or even Central America, are they criminal? They're coming here to do harm and violence? Of course not. But if you don't come through the country legally, if we don't properly vet you and see why you're here and that you're not somebody that stole somebody's child so you can claim it's your child, and then you bring the child up for sex trafficking, then no, you don't get into this country. And if they're so worried about it, Senator Warren and all the Hollywood elite, you've got mansions. You, Nancy Pelosi, you've got a mansion. Senator Feinstein, you got a mansion. Open the doors of your mansions and say, come on in. I got extra rooms. Have they done that? Oh, Larry, what a stupid, silly question you just asked. Wasted your breath and my time. I agree. I did. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Megan Rapinoe has a message for any soccer fans who might also be Trump voters. That's right. And I also want to share, before we're wrapping this evening, a message from a Green Beret. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf. to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, Tax Resolution Attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Text coming in from Andrew in Chicago, and he's referring when John called earlier tonight. John said he had learned more from listening to this show than for 4 years in college. Andrew said, be very prestigious to earn a master's Larry Connors graduate degree. I give them out all the time. Thanks, Andrew. Megan Rapinoe has a message for soccer fans who are also Trump voters. She was in an interview with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press over Sunday, and she was asked, what would you tell a Team USA fan who's also a Trump supporter? Yeah, there are folks who love soccer and they support the women, but they're also a Trump supporter. She said, well, I think I would, you know, try to share our message. Do you believe all people are created equal? Do you believe that people should have health care? Do you believe everyone should have health care, I should say? Do you believe that we should treat everyone with respect? I think those are the basics we're talking about. She wants to tell you about respect. The same woman who said, I'm not going to the effing White House. F Trump. And stands there with our national anthem being played while we're in a World Cup soccer arena. And the other members are at least putting their hands over their hearts and singing or acting as if they're singing. She just stands there kind of saying, look at me. And then during the ticker tape parade the other day, again, they're all singing the national anthem, hand over the heart. And she stands there smirking. Look at me. I don't have to respect this country, this flag. And yet she wants to preach everyone else, treat everyone with respect. Do you not think it starts with the individual, whoever you are? So someone doesn't treat you with respect, what should you do? Bible says turn the other cheek. That's hard, but you can certainly stop short of doing what you did, and you can at least show respect for this country and the flag. Which brings me to a message from a Green Beret, a very decorated Green Beret, 40-year-old Sergeant Major James Ryan Sartor of Teague, Texas. This guy joined the military 20 years ago. 20 years, serving 5 tours of duty in Iraq. 1 as an infantryman, 4 as a Green Beret. Now, if you don't know anything about the military, just stop and know this. 5 tours of duty in Iraq, and you're there as an infantryman to begin with, that is grunt work, that is nasty, that's dirty, that's dangerous every day. And went back as a Green Beret, which put him probably in more danger. So he did 5 tours of duty in Iraq. And then he served another full tour in Afghanistan. This guy assigned to Fort Carson 2nd Battalion, 10th Special Forces Group. He's already been awarded the Bronze Star, numerous decorations. Sergeant Major James Ryan Sartor, 40 years of age, of Teague, Texas. He and his troop came up on a situation in Afghanistan. As I said, he had 1 full tour in Afghanistan and was on his 2nd tour to Afghanistan. And it's not clear exactly what happened, if they were ambushed, if they were trying to carry out some kind of mission. Taliban claims it's responsible for what did happen. I told you this Green Beret has a message for you. But he cannot deliver it himself, not by words. He came home in a flagged, draped coffin. The 10th U.S. service member to die in Afghanistan during combat this year. He came home after volunteering over and over for his country in a flagged, draped coffin. His message, you know his message.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.